Documentaries at rte.ie. Subject, documentary pitch.
This is how it all began.
To whom it may concern, I am emailing as I am a young 32-year-old Irish woman living with a terminal degenerative neurological illness that was misdiagnosed due to the fact that I was adopted.
This email arrived into us just before midnight on the 8th of April, 2021.
I have Huntington's disease, which is ALS meets Alzheimer's meets Parkinson's disease. So a pretty tough disease. Irish neurological wards are increasingly becoming full of young Irish women like me who are terminally ill due to the secrets and the lies around adoption.
In among all the emails we get, this one stood out. Listen to how brave the writer sounds.
I have accepted that I will die because I was misdiagnosed. I have accepted that I will more than likely die without meeting my birth mother. What I can't accept is that this is going to continue impacting women until something is done, until people hear my story and realize the change is urgently needed and not only for adoptees.
This person really wanted to tell their story, and they really wanted RTE Documentary on One to help them tell it.
We have a chance to save a life. If just one woman thinks to question their GP after hearing my story, that's a positive.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. Something big. Right here. Right at the very start of this series. And what you're about to find out, it took us almost a year to discover. And it changes how you're going to listen to it.
Since my diagnosis, I've gone back to university.
Almost everything in the email that the woman says about herself is completely and utterly made up.
I can no longer write or type.
Almost all lies, like this one.
On another note, the psychiatrist that misdiagnosed me is actually now in prison. Just to add another hook to this story. Thank you for your time. Kerry Jade Williams.
I'm Justine Stafford. From RTE Documentary on One, this is The Real Kerry Jade. Episode 1. I'm Kerry Jade. After we received that email, our producer Ronan went to meet Kerry Jade.
What's the walking like for you? Is it sore or is it tired?
Oh, I'm okay. No, it's just because I took a muscle relaxant.
At that time, during the autumn of 2021, she was living in the southwest of Ireland, in the small rural town of Carrigsaveen, County Kerry.
I love it down here. It's a much more relaxed way of life. I still have to go up to Dublin for all my neurology appointments, but, you know, it's three and a half hours on the train.
Oh, hello.
It's a nice day, you know.
It's lovely, isn't it? Now, if we're at this end of the town, I'll go in and pick up. Hello. Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, I love the polka dot.
Oh, thank you. I'll go in and pick up the New Yorker.
Hello.
Yes, please.
Hello.
Thank
you. $9.95.
Thank you very much.
Nice day, isn't it?
It's lovely, isn't it? Thank you. Sorry, I'm being recorded. Just in case you wondered what.
No, I don't mind at all.
Thanks a million. Will she put next week's away for me as well?
Yes.
Thank you. You're a star. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
While she was living in Carrigsaveen, Kerry Jade was renting a flat in town.
The landlady, she's just really kind, you know, put me in touch with a few other people locally.
Walking around the town, Kerry Jade tells Ronan about her illness and its impact on her life.
Okay. And when you go for coffee, where would you go for coffee here?
Oh, well, I'm not actually supposed to drink coffee. Not really. Well, just from a neurology perspective, so I do have the odd one. I was on a well-being weekend.
When you're with Kerry Jade, although she seems fine, she keeps mentioning she has a brain disease.
Imagine if I drew a line on your feet and you could only feel one side or the other. You just feel a bit sort of wonky. So.
No, these are the two coffee shops.
but I always feel like if you're going to one, you have to go into the other. So I light this one. So when I'm with Fionn, I make him go and buy from the one next door. And then we take them home.
Fionn, according to Kerry Jade, is her fiancé.
Oh, Fionn. What do we say about Fionn? He's a lovely man.
What you could say about Fionn is that he's not real.
Fionn's currently stuck in the UK. He got one positive and one negative test to COVID, so that's why he's not here.
He's not stuck in the UK. He doesn't exist. Never did. We didn't know that when we were recording with her in Carisavine.
Fionn and I were very good friends for a long time.
Why would we doubt what a terminally ill woman was saying to us? So, we happily listened to the story about Fionn.
We met through a church group and he had a little boy that died. And so he and I were chatting and then found out that I'm in Ireland and that he, through his work, would come back and forth here quite a lot. And we just stayed in touch, stayed really good friends. And then he had proposed beforehand, but I had said, oh, I like our friendship. I quite liked being single, I think. And then when I got my diagnosis, I mean, gosh, everyone in the hospital just presumed we were together because he'd just be in all the time. And then when I first got my diagnosis, I thought it was quite selfish to be a bit of a burden for somebody that you know you're not going to be around potentially for very long. Then my pastor's wife said to me, she was like, happiness can just be for an hour. It doesn't have to be for the whole day. And I always remember that because she's very, very good.
Even though she's only been here in Carisavine a few months, Kerry knows people in the town.
Their daughter is Jade. I'm Kerry Jade Williams, and I was getting some of her mail, even though we've different surname.
You see there where she says, I'm Kerry Jade Williams? She's not. It's a fake name. Just one of many she's used in her travels around Ireland. She's been all over the country, deceiving people. Conning them out of money, pretending that she has qualifications she doesn't have, winning their trust, and then betraying it. But I'll tell you one true fact about her. Her year of birth. She was born in 1988. And 1988 is important in her made-up stories. She uses the fact that Ireland was a very different place in 1988, particularly for single mothers. Single mothers were seen as a problem in Irish society back then. If they had a baby and weren't married, they were often harassed into giving that baby up for adoption. So then, when you ask Kerry Jade about her birth, this is what she says.
I was born in Bessborough in Cork.
Bessborough was a notorious mother and baby home in the south of Ireland. It was one of the largest such homes in Ireland, where thousands of single women lived with their babies.
So I was born obviously in Ireland and then I was adopted, but I grew up in the UK. My mum was one of the first to be allowed to adopt as a single parent. I was adopted because my mum thought there was too many people on the planet. Okay. So my adoption was some sort of... my mum was a bit of a rebel back in the day and very much a feminist. I love her to pieces.
When you listen to this, you have to keep reminding yourself that it's all made up.
You know, I went to Steiner school, so my grandparents were horrified at that. I think my grandparents were convinced I would never learn to read or write.
At this point, anything. Kerry Jade was happy to tell us her entire fake life story. And we were happy to listen.
I grew up as a kid on protest marches and all of that. So that was our holidays. Like some children got taken to, you know, SeaWorld in Florida. I got taken to stand outside to like protest poor Tillicum the whale. My mum would always have her opinions on things. And I can always remember my grandmother always used to say, oh, well, that's because we let you listen to David Bowie.
While she changes her identities and stories a lot, there is one constant, and that is that her family are millionaires.
We had a family business that was in diamond cutting abrasives for industry. And we own a family business out in Israel, in Haifa, in northern Israel. We own quite a lot of factories out there.
She told us, and she told the people she conned.
Yeah, floppy disks. That's what it was. So her mother owned a 3M, and that's what she was going to give my nephew a job.
She made out that she was super rich. What age was she?
27.
Why would you want to be in up here at 27?
Back in 2021, when we interviewed her in Kerry, she was Kerry Jade, but she used lots of other aliases before and since.
Lucy Fitzwilliams.
One woman from Cork knows her as Rebecca.
Lucy Hart, Claudia Bronwyn, Sadie Harris.
I know she left Wicklow as Lucy Fitzwilliams. So she came to us as Lucy Fitzpatrick.
In Carrizavine, when we met Kerry Jade, she had shoulder-length hair, fair with auburn tints, held back with a clip on one side. She had a soft, round face, blue eyes, rosy cheeks, even teeth, and a ready smile. She was full-figured, heavy. When she's been deceiving other people, as well as changing her name, she changed her hair, its length and colour, and her body shape.
But she would have been blonde, her hair kind of bobbed.
Very pretty.
Very pretty girl, yeah.
But when she came here, she went straight to the bathroom, cut her hair and dyed it.
She had like white bleach blonde hair, but she was bigger than she was with us.
She doesn't look like the same person because there's like the huge weight gain.
A guard rang me and asked me to go and do another ID of her. But she changed all her hair again and she had put on weight.
One thing she didn't change, though, and it's the thing that everyone remarks on, is her voice.
She spoke so eloquently. She spoke gentle and soft and with that posh accent.
You know, I'm shopping pennies. I'm never going to have expensive clothes or handbags. So, you know, I always say I'd rather pay a doctor than an undertaker.
Which is so nice and sweet and has dulcet tones as well. It's not a typical Gloucester accent as well. She has a very posh English voice.
Oh, we're going to have such a mild winter this year. Oh, come on, I'm just the eternal optimist.
Drove down this street in Westport to collect her, right along here as we're going. And just on this corner outside the town hall, there she was. Lovely, soft little face on her. This Lady Jane, this lovely, well-spoken English lady. She had such voice control when she said things, but when she was trying to twist things, when she let it fly, you heard a different side of her. And it was like, whoa, what are you saying?
Her voice turned from that lovely upper class English. Her voice changed to something like I'd never heard before. She basically said stuff about kids. And it was like, I should have them. They don't deserve them. And it was like something out of a horror movie.
But that was a side of Kerry Jade we didn't see. We went to Kerry to interview this brave woman who's trying experimental surgery to treat her terminal illness. The disease Kerry Jade told us she'd been diagnosed with is Huntington's.
When you get diagnosed with Huntington's disease, it's a list of all the things you suddenly aren't allowed to do anymore. So like you're not allowed to drive, you're not allowed to, you know, make a lot of decisions around certain things. I was a mad rower, I'm not allowed to row anymore, you're not allowed to rock climb. For me, it just felt like my life suddenly got very, 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 very small.
When someone tells you that they're dying, especially someone young, like Kerry Jade was at 32, it changes how you engage with them. It changes the relationship. They hold the upper hand as you feel so, so sorry for them. It kind of makes them beyond reproach. You don't feel you have the space to question anything of what they're saying. But there's something else too. Kerry Jade is a natural storyteller. By the time we'd met her, she'd already won prestigious literary prizes in the UK for her short stories about her supposed disability. And she actually did win those prizes. Also, when Kerry Jade tells her stories, she peppers them with interesting details that hold your attention.
I used to cycle up Sandy Cove and Leary all along there.
For example, when she talks about how she realised that there was something wrong with her health.
Say you're doing something and it's like washing up or something, you don't really think, you're thinking about something else. I just used to drop like everything. I mean, the amount of plates I went through, we used to, like, it became a standard joke that I used to keep IKEA in business because I just used to buy, you know, they're like basic sets. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until a friend of mine pointed it out. She was like, gosh, you were on like your fourth or fifth set. And I was like, that is a bit weird, isn't it?
How do they do a series of tests or do they?
Yeah, so, okay, my situation, I went to visit a friend down in Cork and I kept saying to her, there's something wrong with my eye. And she was like, okay, that sounds a bit vague and a bit weird. And she said, well, we can get you an eye test. And you know, in Cork, there's the shopping centre across the road from the hospital. Wilton Shopping Centre. The pennies in there must just be full of people buying pyjamas for people in there. I always thought that when I used to go and visit her. She took me in to the optician and the lovely optician came back to me and she was like, I want you to be heading across the road to the hospital. And we were like, why? And she was like, yeah, I'm not quite sure what I'm seeing, but I'm kind of concerned about this, and you know, do we need to be calling an ambulance and I was like, you can see the hospital from the shopping centre. I was like, it'll be fine.
But of course, according to her story, she wasn't fine. She was sent to a neurological unit in a hospital in Dublin where they discovered that Carrie Jade had Huntington's disease. The medical definition of Huntington's is that it's a disorder that causes nerve cells in your brain to gradually break down and die.
Like, I always say Huntington's disease made me brave. You know, I hate if people tell me, oh, you're inspirational, or you're very brave. Like, if I do, say I fell over in the street, say I went outside and I fell over in the street, I'm genuinely not going to remember that in a week's time, unless I leave myself a note to say, Carrie, remember you fell on the street last, blah, blah. So in some respects, like, Huntington's disease is kind of a nice disease because you might make a fool of yourself, but I won't remember it.
The other thing about Huntington's disease is that it's hereditary, handed down from your mother or father. But as we've already told you, in her story, Carrie Jade says she's adopted. So that was another issue for her.
You know, I apply for my health insurance every year and I get asked a load of questions that I have to say I don't know to, which obviously increases my premiums, I'm guessing. It makes life harder when I go to the doctor. I have to say, oh, I don't know. If I, you know, now I want to go on to different medications. We're literally guessing because there is absolutely no medical history that we know of.
Are you believing what Carrie Jade is saying? If we hadn't told you she was lying, would you believe her? We did. Absolutely. And we were not the only ones to trust what she was saying. We just wanted to know more and more about this extraordinary woman.
People will often say, like, Huntington's disease, some people it brings out huge depression.
Doctors will tell you that Huntington's not only damages your body, but also your mind, and it can affect your ability to plan, and it can affect your mood.
In my situation, it's brought out more, if I have an idea, I think it's the best idea ever, and I'm going to go and do it. So in some areas of my life, that's great. I've started doing things, I do them without fear.
One thing Carrie Jade says she was not afraid of was planning for the end of her life.
I am very realistic about Huntington's disease. I've visited, you know, the sort of the specialist nursing homes. I know where this illness goes. And I didn't want to burden my friends and family and those that love me with having to make those decisions. I think it's better to, you know, I might get a miracle in the morning and I might be miraculously cured, but I might not.
So while Carrie Jade was keeping an eye on her death, she was also keeping an eye out for her future, for a miracle cure. She found one, or so she told us. It's a procedure they're working on in the United States. This pioneering treatment she told us about really captures the imagination.
It comes off the back of deep brain stimulation, which is mainly for Parkinson's. And it's a little piece of technology that gets put into the brain and it just interrupts the brain's electricity and keeps it running In the way it's supposed to run, instead of an abnormal way, which then comes out in a seizure. What the hope is that by putting this tech into the brain, is that it will just hit pause. So whatever damage that Huntington's disease has done to your brain can't be undone, but it won't get worse, or it will slow down the progression. It's a 15 millimeter hole that they have to drill through your skull to put it in. So it's quite small. I have to go for an MRI in 3 weeks' time. That will then be sent out to LA. And when I land in LA, they'll then do very intensive studies around it.
Carrie Jade says that she has to be awake while the chips are being inserted in her brain. That's so the medics can monitor her reaction and put them in the right place. To prepare for this, she has to learn to be calm in a medical setting. She tells us that she actually needs to have some of her teeth taken out. So she plans to have this done while she's conscious.
They're actually going to do my wisdom teeth out next under conscious sedation, just so that I can have experienced what that process is like, because they obviously need you to be still for the surgery. And if you panic, they have to put you straight to sleep.
Then the story becomes even more elaborate. Carrie Jade explains that not only does she have to be calm, the surgical specialists want her in a certain mood while they're putting the electronic chips in.
We had to find a TV show that kind of annoys me, but that I kind of annoys you but makes me laugh. And so if you heard of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, that show really annoys me, but like makes me laugh. Like they carry dogs around with them, like grown women carrying little dogs and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So during the surgery, they'll be playing that. And then I just talk about nonsense, basically. You just talk about how annoying that TV show is to me. So when we go for my dental work, I'm going to be taking a screen with The Real Housewives on to see how it works. It freaks lots of people out. I don't know, I think people are freaked out by brains, first of all, and then they start thinking about like drilling through the skull and everything. Some people are like, oh, please stop.
We weren't those people. We didn't want Carrie Jade to stop. This documentary was transforming before our eyes and ears. Not only did this 32-year-old Irish woman with a terminal illness want to share her story, she was now heading to Los Angeles to have an experimental operation to save her life. And she invited us to come along and record the whole thing, meaning we'd have a front row seat at pioneering brain surgery. We recorded with Carrie Jade a few times, about 4 hours in total, which you'll hear more from throughout the series. But as the months went by, contact between us diminished. And when we began asking more questions and digging for deeper detail, she went totally quiet. This is when we began to suspect that everything was not as it seemed. Sure, we did have inklings before that, but we'd given Carrie Jade the benefit of the doubt, because she was a young woman who was dying. As it turns out, we were not the only media outlet Carrie Jade was courting. Yeah. Around the time she first got in touch with us,
from an undisclosed location in North London,
she appeared on a top UK podcast, The Guilty Feminist.
I think that sounds brilliant.
And I hate, so my neurologist is very easy on the eye, and I just get really...
She spoke about a novel she was supposedly writing.
And where can we buy your novel?
It's not available yet.
Then, at the very same time she was avoiding us,
and she's now making a documentary with Netflix,
she appeared on the Irish National Radio Station,
Carrie, thank you for joining
News Talk,
on the program,
explaining about her Huntington's diagnosis.
Hi, thank you for having me on. So Huntington's disease is basically Alzheimer's meets Parkinson's meets ALS.
And she was on her local station,
who may take up the charge, Carrie,
Radio Kerry, talking about finding
Kerry,
love.
You also fell in love with a Kerry person.
I did, yes. I'm getting married this year, yes.
Oh, listen, congratulations. Lucky Kerry, man, that's for sure. Carrie, tell me about today.
Of course, there was no fiancé. But Carrie Jade still managed to get an actual writer's residency and a real arts festival performance out of the fiction that she was dying and leaving a husband behind.
I do not share photos of my husband online. His next wife, the one after me, the one who will love him when I'm gone, when I'm buried, she will share photos. I do not share photos of my husband online.
We parked up our project with Carrie Jade for a while. We knew things were not right. But we were unsure what was really going on. It wasn't until a year later, in October 2022, that we finally started to understand the depth of Carrie Jade's lies and finally started to get some answers. Her entire story began to transform before our eyes and before many other eyes too, as it broke on social media.
She was given a 9-month prison sentence and the judge, he ordered her to pay £1,800 compensation.
Carrie Jade first came to Ireland in 2013 and before long, she started lying to people about her skills and qualifications. For example, she pretended to be a play therapist for children.
This woman is obviously a danger to children. And she came into my home. She knew how unwell Daisy was and offered to spend time on her own with her so I would have a break. Thankfully, I know that that is not something I should have done and thankfully didn't.
I would still be very emotional at times about what she's done to people. It still hurts me what she done to my friends. The biggest crime in my head that she committed was taking people's trust.
The victims in this story, of which there are many, were handpicked by Carrie Jade Williams. We've been working with those victims over the last year and a half. We wanted to get an insight into how Carrie Jade entered their lives, their families, their homes, and tricked them all. Think about it. For you and me, this is the woman who tells incredible stories. And I mean that in the original sense of the word. Incredible. As in, not believable. And it is kind of compelling to listen to her creativity. How she skips from lie to lie. And even if she's asked a question, she has some random made-up fact ready on the tip of her tongue. It is compelling to you and me, but imagine her victims. They had this woman inserting herself into their lives, minding their children, sleeping in their homes at night. Some of them really dislike her. Some of them have been damaged by her actions. Some are angry. Yet, later, we hear from one person who was really affected by her behaviour, but who sees things differently. That is the father of her children. Coming up, the story that eventually revealed the real Carrie Jade. Episode 2. I'm Samantha Cooks.
And I'm satisfied that the appropriate verdict that I should record in relation to Martha is that she died an accidental death. It simply then remains for me to offer my condolences to the family and to Miss Cooks.
If you've any knowledge of Samantha Cooks, aka Carrie Jade Williams, Sadie Harris, Lucy Fitzwilliams, or Rebecca Fitzgerald, please contact us immediately and in confidence by email to documentaries@rte.ie. or on any of the RTE Documentary on One social media platforms. The Real Carrie Jade is narrated by myself, Justine Stafford. Music is composed by Fergal O'Connor and performed by Fergal and Tony O'Flaherty. The sound engineer is Ruth Kennington. The series is produced by Ronan Kelly and Liam O'Brien, with the team from RTE Documentary on One.